Good afternoon and welcome to the Jason Rand Show on AM 770 KTTH, streaming live on the KTTH smartphone app, which allows you not only to listen to the show, but you can also watch the show on the KTTH smartphone app. You can get the app just by going to your app store or go directly to KTTH.com and you can stream the studio cams from inside my booth, but also inside the booth of producer Jackson. Would speed limiting devices in cars actually work in Washington State? Well, it doesn't matter because it is a completely manufactured story. It's driving me nuts, but it is what's trending.
What's trending? Let's get political.
So after the car crash in Renton that killed four people, tragically killed four people, we've had different local media outlets offering different angles on this story. How can they continue the story without doing the same thing each and every day? Because it's a tragedy. And people are interested. It's compelling, if that's the right word. It feels a little weird using that word, but that's how people think. They want to know more. This has hit a lot of people, and it should. And so most of the time, the different, you know, quote-unquote angles that they take are completely legitimate, completely important. They talk about what can be done to prevent this from happening again because the roads, everyone's always, you know, driving fast down. What can be done? What has been done in the past that's not being done now? What about punishment? What about bail? What about the remote opportunity so we can get in front of the accused who's in the hospital but not delay? There's all these different angles that I think are really important. But then there are some angles that aren't remotely important or even interesting, but most importantly, they're not even plausible and no one's really even talking about it. It's just manufactured. And now for the second time, we've got an outlet asking about whether or not we should force cars in Washington State to have speed limiters installed, which basically say, due to technology that I'm pretty sure doesn't yet exist, it will know if the speed limit is 60 miles per hour. And if it is, a typical speed limiter doesn't allow you to drive 10 miles over that. It automatically stops your car from doing it. And the reason why they're having this conversation is, one is pretty obvious. Someone was speeding, and if you could have stopped him from speeding, allegedly speeding, you know, would this tragedy have happened? The answer is obviously no. But then number two, they said, well, in California, someone introduced a bill that says by 2027, any car that is sold or manufactured in the state of California has to have that technology installed on the car. Now, the technology might be a little bit different in a few years, but unlikely. How would it work? I don't know. Something internal. But at the end of the day, they're saying, well, they might be doing it there. Will they be doing it here? So the first thing they do, in this case, it was Cairo 7. Last time we talked about, I think it was Como, or maybe it was King. It was either Como or King or Fox 13. It was one of the other three. It was a TV one. I know that. I think it was Como, right?
I think.
Just say yes.
Yeah, it was. Yeah,
there you go. You better be right. So the first thing they do is talk to just random drivers. Hey, random driver who's clearly not ready or interested in being on television, but I'm going to force you into it anyway by awkwardly pointing the camera at you and saying, oh, no, you'll be fine. Don't worry. We'll edit all the bad stuff out, which they never do, by the way. What do you think about this? Well, here, tell us, and we will pretend to care about your opinion on this, random lady.
Well, these people that go in and out, and then you see them down the road, their car's rolled over, or they've hit somebody. There's four cars that have been bumped.
Just real quickly, how often have you seen that lady? Cars rolled over.
I was going to say, what's she talking about?
where do you live that you're seeing this all the time? I've never seen that before, and I go out and about and cover stories about crashes. So, you know, dial it back a little bit.
I think it's a good idea. I don't think it would have an effect on a lot of these people. For me?
So, okay, again, lady whose position I'm supposed to care about here or pretend to. You think it's a great idea that won't have any impact on these people. So why is it a great idea exactly? Can you explain that? And I'm teasing her a little. I'm being mean, but it's a little bit in jest because she's put in a spot that she didn't ask to be in. She didn't wake up one day and say, I hope a random reporter asked me about an opinion that I never even really formulated before the person asked me in that moment. I hope that happens today. I really do. She doesn't know what she's talking about.
I'd do out there, you know. I'm not going. I don't want a speeding ticket.
See, you're not speeding. I'm willing to bet you're the one actually doing the opposite, which is going too slow and causing other people to speed. So, you know, just throwing that out there, the people who probably love this idea would never speed or very rarely speed or even rarely drive. It's like the people who, you know, who she's probably a bicyclist. She's probably got four bikes at home. I'm kidding. You know, God bless her. Here's another person we're supposed to pretend has something interesting to say.
I can imagine that.
Oh, we're not even getting an American. Oh, you know how I feel about that. They come here, they take our jobs, and now they take our man on the street audio. Oh my God, I'm kidding.
That some people might object to being policed.
Hey, lady, you don't even drive on the right side of the road. So what do we care what you have to say? Wait, no, in Scotland, she's Scottish, right?
She was Irish.
Irish.
I think.
Do they do that? I know they in the...
It's the same as the UK.
Is it?
Yeah,
the
it is.
Okay. Well, because, you know, they get all touchy if you just all call them Brits.
I know, but they kept that.
Barely have a different accent.
Within their own cars, not being able to choose for themselves. For me, I probably wouldn't choose it just because I self-regulate myself in the car. So I don't think it's that necessary. Sure, for a teenager, sign me up.
Oh, God. Sure. How is that going to work, by the way? Again, no shared cars whatsoever. Every teenager gets their own car now. And again, I say that in jest, mostly because this entire story, this whole entire conversation is a manufactured one. Because surely if you get something like this, they will then cut to a lawmaker who's known for passing bills around traffic safety. And that lawmaker, almost always a Democrat, will say, we're really looking into this as an idea. I mean, you know, I'm not maybe yet committed to it, but I'm totally thinking about it. Or the opposite, which is we're 100% doing it. We're 100% doing it. Except when they talk to State Representative Brandi Donaghy, she's all like, yeah, we're not doing this. Get out of my face, dummy.
It is incredibly limiting. You've also got the type of technology kind of requires being able to talk to the satellites all the time and understand what the speed limits are. So they're not always right. I think driver training is probably the first step in addressing that, rather than just putting them into a car and saying it will not go past the speed no matter what.
So is anyone actually even talking about bringing this up in Washington State? We have yet to find one person, one lawmaker even saying this is a possibility at some point in the future of any time, like not even near future, you know, I mean, maybe 40 years from now. Yeah, maybe. No, it is made up. So what's the value in this?
I don't know.
It's almost like they want us to demand that as an option. Maybe I missed the reporter meeting or the media meeting where everyone got together and said, hey, you know, what else should we just manufacture as an issue because we all want it as journalists? Oh, I know. Speed limiters. Are you down? Raise your hand. Okay, Como, you're down. Got that. King 5, you want to put the facing race team on it and make it about marginalized communities? Okay, seems kind of manufactured, but everything you do is manufactured. So we'll count you. Carousel, you're in. Okay. Fox 13. Okay. Oh, yeah. They've all spoken. Seattle Times, you get two votes, and even though none of your people drive cars, you all have bikes. My God. And by the way, why am I annoyed and passionate about this? Because I don't drive. I don't have a car. Because you do. People are listening have cars. And when you guys get impacted, then I get a little territorial. I mean, you know, someone needs to fight for you, and it's not like the Seattle Times or the Everett Herald. They're definitely not. They can barely correctly spell in their articles. Oh, my God. They're not the TNT, though. I'll give you that. Push the button.
What's trending? Let's get political.
So that was the last one we did. Let's get. You can't have two let's get politicals in a row. That confuses my head. Do I have to get political again? Can I just? But it is political.
Yeah, I mean, too late now, I guess.
Oh, fine. Echelon Insights did a poll. And it's a poll for a conservative organization. And they put out details headed into this next election that certainly shine a spotlight on positions conservatives want voters to have. It's a very good poll. I don't know if I would trust any poll from anyone right now in Washington State. I just don't think polls that we've been burned before, polls coming from conservative groups, the polls coming from the progressive groups, I throw out also, even if sometimes they're right because they are biased in all of this and they want to pretend otherwise. But there's obviously some good news in this poll that is worth at least talking about. Because even if a poll is not accurate, and I've said this many times about all polls, they still can change the way people think about issues and impact coverage of different of issues or candidates or whatever it is they're polling. And that can change people's minds. And so it's kind of like the peer pressure effect, right? Is everybody else is doing it, you should too. Everybody else is thinking this, maybe you should too. And so for that, we'll lean into this. And some of the, it's not like anything in this poll shocks me at all. They voted or they looked at the approval rate for Governor Jay Inslee. He's underwater 43-53. Now that makes sense to me. You know, Inslee this last year hasn't really done anything. And he's just annoying, honestly.
It's still way too high of an approval rating, let's be honest.
Yeah, I mean, for me it is. And so maybe this is a totally legitimate, because I would, if we polled just Republicans, that would be what, a percentage and a half maybe? Because someone mistakenly said they liked it?
At most.
Right? They get the generic state legislature ballot is statistically tied. Republicans have a 2% edge, but it's, you know, the margin of error is probably 3-4. So 42-40. And that just means, do you want a Republican legislature or a Democrat legislature? That's it. They don't go into any issues. They don't say any specific candidates. They just look at the R or the D. And Republicans have a slight edge, but it's basically a wash. Then they say, and this one I totally agree with, 53% of the people who took this poll say that we're on the wrong track as a state. Not as a country, but as a state, 53% to 32%. And the rest in between are, they're unsure. Maybe we're, I don't know. I don't really pay attention. You know, things I guess are maybe, I don't, get away from me. Those are those people. 53%. Yeah, I mean, you know, we did the study or the survey last week about how Republicans and independents are pretty clear about where they stand on the issues. And the Democrats think everything is amazing. Right. And so in a state that has more Democrats than Republicans, you're going to guess that the Republicans who say we're in the wrong track, not going to be a huge number unless you bring in the independents. And it makes up for the lack of Republican voters versus Democrats. And bam, you have 53% at least who think we're going in the wrong direction. Now, when you go into the individual races, Dave Reichert is at 28%. Semi Byrd is at 7%. Reichert versus Bob Ferguson looks still good. Bob Ferguson's polling at 28%, and then Mark Mullett at 5%. There is the and I'm getting sick and tired of you people who are giving me a hard time claiming that I'm a rhino because you're backing Dave Reichert. I didn't say I'm backing anyone. I have not taken a position, and I'm not going to take a position. What I have said, and this has been consistent in all of the coverage I've ever done on political issues, during primaries, I don't think I should tell you how to vote. I'll tell you what the polls say. I might tell you how I eventually will vote, but I'm not doing the whole I endorse. I just, you know, you can figure this out yourself. What I'm not going to do is pretend that the polls don't show that Dave Reichert has a better shot at becoming governor than Semi Byrd. I'm not going to lie to you because I do think that you should be informed about this. I want you to pick who you think is the best reflection of what you want in the governor seat. You should do that. And it's not like at the end of this, there is any Republican candidate that I wouldn't back if they got into the general against Bob Ferguson. So it does me no favors to take a side in either Semi Byrd or Dave Reichert. I will say the most annoying people are coming from the Semi Byrd camp right now. They're just really annoying me on Twitter, calling me a rhino because they think I'm backing Dave Reichert, calling me all sorts of things. Oh, you don't care about voter integrity and you're lying. The polls are wrong. The candidate of the people is Semi. To you and maybe the people you hang out with, but the polls don't back that up. Now, will we know what the ultimate poll will be when they vote in August? Yeah. Do I care what's going to happen at the convention this month? No, not really. The same reason I wouldn't care even if they voted for Dave Reichert. I imagine they're going to vote for Semi Byrd. The problem I have with doing it this way is the same problem I would normally have. I don't want a few hundred activists deciding anything on behalf of a party. I just don't like that. You guys are the ones who do incredibly important work. There's no doubt. And I am glad and grateful that they're doing the work. but they don't get to decide how I'm going to vote. Sorry. That's not how it's going to work for me. And I think it's premature at this point for anyone on either side, on either Reichert or Semi Bird's side, to come out and say for certain the party's got to back so-and-so. But if you're going to do what's best in the at least in the minds of general voters of who can win, Semi Bird isn't there yet. Could he get there? Sure. Yeah, he's going to need a lot more money. He's not getting the funding that he needs, which is generally an indication of the strength amongst voters, but it's not always the indication that matters. He could be a huge surprise. He could. Do I anticipate that happening at this point? No, I don't. Now, me acknowledging that is not an endorsement of anyone. Again, vote for who you want to vote for. I just refuse to pretend that one isn't in a stronger position than the other. Because what value is that to anyone? Because if you're truly on the fence and you're thinking to yourself, okay, I want to vote for someone who's going to beat Bob Ferguson. I like Semi Bird. I like Dave Reichert. Or maybe I like Semi Bird more than I do Dave Reichert, but I still would prefer Dave Reichert over Bob Ferguson. Man, what do I do? You do what you want, but I'm going to give you the information that you need to make a choice that at least is informed. And perhaps at the end of the day, it's not even about that. It's about voting your conscience. Okay, you can do that too. I mean, if all the Republicans were to do that, again, according to every single poll that we've seen, including from polls on the left, it still would go with Dave Reichert as being either number one or number two going into the general. So does that matter to you? That's going to be up to you, but I'm not going to hold that back. So please, will you stop with the tweets? And it's always like a handful of the same, like seven people who do it over and over and over again. And it's I don't want to block them because then they'll say, I win. C doesn't even want to debate. No, it's just you're annoying. It's your I got it. I saw the same tweet you messaged me yesterday 32 times. I don't need it again today. Dear God. And by the way, if you're doing this in my Twitter account and you don't have a name attached or a photo of you, it's like a meme or a cat. I honestly will never care what you have to say. It'll annoy me still, but you will never convince me that anything you say is of value. I don't want to talk to a cat. A puppy, if it's a one-eyed dachshund, I'll talk to that guy. It's probably a woman. If it's a one-eyed dachshund, that seems like a female's avatar. If it's just like a Mariner player that you like, I'm assuming it's a dude.
Most likely.
And that's not impressive to me. If it was a Man City player, you give me Kevin De Bruyne a photo as your avatar? Do you even know who that is?
I believe he's Belgian, correct?
Yes, he is.
I know. I remember him playing on the Belgian national team, but
yeah,
that's all I remember.
He is the best player in the EPL.
Oh, okay.
I mean, he's not, but to me he is because he's my favorite. Then I'll talk to you. So in any case, I took a little bit of a detour there. So obviously Dave Reichert in a good position in this poll versus Bob Ferguson. Those two, who comes out on top, I obviously don't know. I'm presuming Reichert doesn't come out on top in the primary because of the semi-bird factor. Right now, Mark Mullett, who, hey, I said this before, it wasn't an endorsement, but I said if there's no Republican who's viable, I would probably vote for Mark Mullett. To keep Bob Ferguson out of office, who is way worse and more dangerous than Jay Inslee, because Jay Inslee, he doesn't have a lot up there. And Bob Ferguson does. Bob Ferguson is smarter. I think Bob Ferguson can operate an iPhone. I do not hold that view of Jay Inslee, who just pounds at it and then he realizes it's a calculator. Or it's his TV phone or his TV remote, thinking it's the phone. I think Jay Inslee's adult. I think Bob Ferguson is very smart. That makes him more dangerous. Considerably more dangerous. So, of course, I would vote for Mark Mullett over Bob Ferguson. At least Mark Mullett and I agree on some of the non-political issues that shouldn't even be seen as political. We're pretty much aligned. He's aligned with everybody here. That's why Democrats hate him. And that's probably why he's only at 5%. But he also has, by the way, a lot of money-ish, I mean, in the context, that maybe he gained some traction. He's a nice guy. Now, of the four, would I vote? No, of course not. Who would I vote for? I'm not going to tell you. Stop pressuring me. Raul Garcia, they're spinning this a little bit. They say the Senate seat ballot between Raul Garcia and Maria Cantwell was slightly in favor of Maria Cantwell at 44% to 36%. That's more than slight. I mean, that's still pretty considerable. However, I will say no one knows who Raul Garcia is. And to get to 36% and have Maria Cantwell under 50%, that matters. I think that is a good sign. It's a promising sign. I really like Raul Garcia. I'm voting for him. There's no other Republican running, so I'm comfortable saying that. I would happily vote for him. And I think he would be a much better senator than Maria Cantwell, who, and I made this point last week. I work in audio, right? If you played me three random audio clips, one of them is Maria Cantwell, one of them is a random woman voice, and another one is you, Jackson, I still would not be able to guess who Maria Cantwell is. She's so out of the press. It's very questionable. Like, what are you doing? What, seriously, I know what Patty Murray does. She's in leadership. So I know what she does. I know what she's known for. I don't know what Maria Cantwell is known for. What's her singular issue?
I have no idea.
Seriously, I honestly don't know. I couldn't tell you the singular issue for Patty Murray. I could say something around the budget. Because, like, that's what she works on. So she doesn't really need a quote-unquote singular issue. She works on budget matters for Democrats. That's what she does.
I think the only time I've ever heard her voice is, like, during debates. Like
Cantwell?
Yeah, like every 4 years or 6 years, I guess.
I don't remember the last debate she had. See, I honestly don't. I know what she looks like, but that's about it. That's about it. Dr. Raul Garcia, that one's easy to recognize. He's got a distinct accent. He's Cuban. Real quickly, the measures. 2124, this is the one that gets rid of the long-term health care insurance, the mandated one. Very easily going to pass, but the poll has it at 65% to 21%, so 65% in favor. Republicans and independents are more interested in that than the Democrats. 2109, which is the capital gains tax, that is, it's got a healthy 43% support to 38% against, but that can move in either direction. That's going to be decided based on the political spend, frankly, of the campaigns. And then the last one, which is going to be so incredibly dishonest, it's 2117. This is the cap and trade. This is the reason why gas prices are so high. Right now, you've got 53% of voters in favor of getting rid of it, 29% opposed, and 18% unsure. That indicates it's going to be tight. And again, you're going to have the Democrats and the media pretend that this is doing something for the environment. It is not. It's really not. It's just making you more poor. That's all it's doing. And that's all it will ever do under the scheme that it uses in order to jack up the prices of your gasoline, which is just enough to make you suffer, but not enough to make you stop driving, as if you could just suddenly stop driving. 1-800-465-8770 for your text messages. 1-800-465-8770. Don't forget, download the KTTH smartphone app immediately, and you'll be able to watch the show be hosted here in the studio. I'm staring at the camera, staring back at me. It's winking a little bit. The one in Jackson's studio is got a little scowl on its face. Why? What are you doing to it in there? It'd be nicer. 1-800-465-8770. Don't forget, our local tax expert and advocate, Greg Nunn, wants you to know the IRS is going after those older cases very aggressively. So if you got a form CP504 or you already know you owe money to the IRS, contact Greg Nunn at Nunn Better Tax Resolution. Google N-U-N-N, Nunn Better Tax Resolution.
ATTH.com.
Sammamish, Kent, Olympia, Everett.
This is the Big Local on the Jason Ranch Show.
Centralia, Lakewood.
Stories about you, not about Seattle.
Hey, look at that. 4:30 on a weekday afternoon. That means it's time for the Big Local, brought to you by Alpine Specialty Services. They're online at alpineclean.com. This is the part of the show where we completely ignore stories coming out of Seattle and instead focus all of our attention on the communities you live in and care about most. We start in Bellevue, where police are trying to identify suspects who stole thousands of dollars of appliances and some other furnishings from homes that are either under construction or are up for sale or have just been sold but not fully moved into yet, which... not that I'm telling people how to do anything like this, but that's a smart idea.
I was going to say, like, I'm not encouraging it, but how has this not been a thing
right?
before?
It feels like it's that time where someone comes up with an invention where everyone's like, how did we not figure that? That was such an obvious thing to want to do. This makes total sense. You know, don't do it during open house. Just throwing that part out there. Again, I'm not telling you to do it. I'm just saying, ignore it, but you get my point. this, I'm surprised, doesn't happen all that often, because it does seem like you are cutting down significantly on the risk. You know someone's not going to be there. You do it at night. You know that it will potentially have some furnishings in there, or again, some of the appliances that you can go ahead and steal. And if no one's really expecting that this place is going to get hit, well, guess what? You have a heck of a lot more time to actually move all that equipment out that you're stealing. Now, in this case, over the past few months, Como TV reports that the Bellevue PD has responded to 8 total burglaries that covered this general theme where a whole bunch of really expensive stuff ends up getting stolen. And it's not, according to Officer Seth Tyler with BPD talking to Como TV, it's not just in Bellevue.
In one instance, every single appliance was stolen out of the home. So we're talking stove, fridge, microwave. These burglars have been very active throughout the region. We believe they're not just targeting Bellevue, but other jurisdictions as well. Sometimes they'll go in and they won't even take anything the first time. They'll stage everything in the garage, and then the next night they'll come and they'll back a truck up.
Like, wow, that's nuts. It's kind of like what you do when you're moving. In fact, that's how about we'll add this to the scam. You know, ask your friends to help you move. And then they show up to a house you don't own.
They'll have no idea.
They won't even know. I mean, you can't ask your close friends who have come over to your house. But you can maybe, if you're one of the, I mean, if you're really committed, you can set this up years and years and years in advance, where you're just the type of friend who doesn't invite people over to your own home. And they talk, they wonder why, like, oh my God, he must be a total slop. But then it's all the long game, because you're waiting for one of these homes to go on the market, and then you ask them to help you move, because you can only ask close friends to do that. Unless you hate the person, then you can just go ahead and lean in and ask. And then they show up and like, oh, you know, I misjudged. They won't say this out loud. I misjudged you. This is a great house. Why are you selling it? And then they move it for you. And then you just happen to want to move out of your brand new house 3 days later, and then they do it again. You can get someone else to do all the work. It's like an accomplice who doesn't even know they're an accomplice.
That's so sinister.
What do you want from me? That's how I think. Bellevue police ended up releasing video surveillance of one of these robberies, and it shows two men, one actually showing his face. The video quality is not the greatest, so it is kind of difficult to make out anything other than the fact that he's a man. He could be white, Latino, or black. I honestly, he's definitely not Asian according to the video. But other than that, I couldn't really tell. I think he had like darkish hair. You can't tell how tall he is because of the camera, for some reason, is on the floor looking up. It's like a Ring camera, but not as high a quality. So I don't know if it's going to help
anyone.
Wait,
like an hour ago, you just said that Asians were considered white, though. So isn't...
Well, not to me.
Oh, okay. Fair enough.
I'm a normal human being. I'm respectful of everyone except for, well, never mind.
Our detectives were actually able to arrange a meeting with him based on an item that was for sale on OfferUp. They were able to confirm that it was one of the stolen items.
And they made one arrest, but they still have two out there, so they're on the lookout for him. I hope I didn't inspire anyone to... Don't steal things. It's bad. I don't approve. If you are, however, that's how I would do it. That's all I'm saying. Oh, shut up. I'm kidding. Meanwhile, a brilliant decision by the city of SeaTac, although they came to this decision in the worst possible way, and it's getting a lot of pushback now. They decided to end the fireworks show over Angle Lake on the 4th of July. They're replacing it with a drone show, which is way cooler, does so much more, visually is absolutely stunning, and doesn't run into the problem when it's cold out of smoke or steam coming out, blocking all of the fireworks to begin with. So you get like maybe 3 fireworks, which are boring. Fireworks are boring. And then you can't see anything, but you pretend that it's all cool because you don't want to turn to your spouse and say, I'm sorry for wasting your time by bringing you out here. And I know what happens in this case, it's Independence Day. It can still be cold on July 4th. Let's just be honest. I mean, July 4th, even having sun, is kind of 50-50. It's either we're lucky and we actually got summer starting July 1st, or we're still kind of stuck for at least another week and a half. So it can still be cold. The reason why they did this, however, is what bothers me. And oddly enough, it started with one person complaining about the hydroplanes on Angle Lake, saying that for that event, they had to close the entirety of it for the permit to work. And the person said, well, that's not fair. I mean, other people want to use the lake. Not everyone cares about the stupid hydroplanes, which is a made up sport anyway. It's just goofy people who never grew up, don't know how to drive. And then they're all like, well, can we do, it was one person. And so they got together and they're all like, oh, you know, okay, that's a fair point. Let's also look at the fireworks and let's close those down too and replace them with the drones. Here's the comms manager for the city, Kyle Moore.
There's access issues, there's environmental issues and safety issues. You know, when you're loading explosives onto a barge, that is a safety issue.
Okay, you know, relax, dude. You know, it's a safety, it's not a nuclear core, okay? It's a firework. Okay, seven-year-olds play, I mean, sometimes they blow off their hands, but that's about it, you know, come on. It's explosives! The whole weekend set off a series of bombs that'll bring SeaTac down. It won't. You're not even going to hit SeaTac, right? Angle Lake is not, I mean, I know it's close, but it's not going to like destroy the entire city.
Yeah, I don't think the payload's very big.
Oh my God. Like a nuclear weapon goes off in the middle of Angle Lake. Sorry, I just wanted fireworks. I just wanted the nice little red color in the sky.
For not only the public, but also the staff members, that's environmentally friendly. It's friendly to the wildlife. It's friendly to the shore, the lake, and keeping it healthy.
Oh my God, he's insufferable. It's friendly to the shore. Okay, I'm sure the shore... First of all, the shore doesn't like you and talks about you behind your back all the time, Kyle. We didn't hear that in the King 5 story, but that's what the shore thinks of you, okay? There, I said it. Doesn't like you. No one does. That little fox over there that you think you're protecting from the loud bangs? Yeah, fox doesn't like you. Really doesn't like you. Yeah, and talk to your girlfriend. Yeah, the fox tried to make a move.
I was going to say...
That's how little respect he has.
I was kind of on his side until he brought up the environment. It's like, ugh.
Like, come on. It's really not bad for the... Just stop. Again, I'm all pro-environment, but this is the kind of stuff that just drives me nuts. But the funny thing is, they end up changing the fireworks show. The one person who complained about the hydroplanes said, I didn't want this. I'm cool. Thank you for what you did with the hydroplane. I didn't want you to cancel the fireworks. Why'd you do that, dummy? I didn't ask you to do that. You just don't bring me into it. Don't bring my complaint into it. And so now there is a complaint that was filed online, a petition, one of those things anyone can sign. It's only looking for 90 people to sign up. It has 71 as of when I saw it a couple hours ago or so. I did not put my name on it because I don't want to bring back the fireworks. I actually like the whole drone thing. But they said they want to, quote, help preserve the longstanding tradition of 4th of July fireworks that so many SeaTac residents look forward to every year. This is an event that brings the neighborhood together and bolsters our sense of community, which is needed now more than ever. You can dial that part back just a little bit, okay? You know, we're divisive times, need fireworks. The drones are just cooler. Fireworks are boring. Just because it's a tradition doesn't mean you have to continue to do it. It doesn't have to be a tradition.
Yeah, I mean, I'm fine with them. I think they are generally overrated, but...
Fireworks are fine for exactly 17 seconds. That's it. That is it. And then you're just looking at the same explosion of mild colors for the rest of the 17 minutes that you're just standing there hurting your neck, looking upward. Again, not even able to see the fireworks through the smoke or steam. And for kids, okay, I'll give you that. They're probably happy for 3 minutes. Also, they might be pyromaniacs and want to blow things up. So, you know, maybe you shouldn't give them the ideas. But the drones are cool. You can actually see objects, right? Like they can make images.
And they don't blow your eardrums out either.
Okay, you know, and dial that back. It's not that loud, okay? It's not missile explosions.
It can be.
Okay. Why don't you go hang out with Kyle talking about the threat of the explosions on a barge. And you're like, yeah, you know, it could explode your eardrums out. Not that loud. How close are you to the fireworks? They're up in the air.
I mean, if like at like Mariner games, they do fireworks nights. Those are kind of loud.
I have hyperacusis, right? So I have a sensitivity to loud sounds, and not even I complain about that.
I'm not complaining.
I complain about you being loud in my office.
That's true.
And I'm not even complaining about the fireworks. So this is on you. This is
I'm not complaining.
You
I'm just saying it gets kind of loud.
It's not that loud. Now you made me a fan of the fireworks just to spite you. And I don't even like them. I did see there was one person who actually wrote a comment on the petition, oddly enough, from Federal Way, not even SeaTac, but everyone in the general area goes to these things, says it's tradition since I was a kid. I'm almost 50 now. A complaint by one person being inconvenienced one day out of a year should not destroy fun and tradition for an entire community. He's right on that, especially when initial complaint was not about fireworks at all. The enjoyment and fun from either of the two events should be taken from the people in the community who enjoy them, because one person is mad and throwing a fit because they can't access parts of the lake 2 days out of the year. For shame. For shame! I added those 2 points, but I felt like it needed that. Plus a meme of the was she a queen? The blonde lady from House of Cards.
Oh, I never really watched
that
show.
They took off her clothes and then they threw tomatoes at her as she was walking in the little dungeon area. They're like, shame! Shame! And then a dragon killed everyone, but not she survived. And she got closed.
Wait, House of Cards? You mean House of Dragons?
Yeah, both of them.
I think those are two very different shows.
No, it was Kevin Spacey was walking nude down the thing and they were throwing things at him. Shame! Shame! 1-800-465-8770. The weekly video update that goes up every single Thursday is now up on our social media channels. It's brought to you by your local tax expert and advocate, Greg Nunn of Nunn Better Tax Resolution. Google N-U-N-N, Nunn Better Tax Resolution. When we come back, you get to pick the news. Story number one. Roseanne, did she go full QAnon or is she just drunk at a party and making jokes? Or story number two, the Biden administration is pushing back against an Easter egg story. Fox News is saying, go pound sand. We're not changing anything. Daily Caller, however, pulled their story. Who is correct? You can find out if you want. 1-800-465-8770. Text the answer of the story you want us to discuss. We'll do it when we come back on the Jason Rant Show.
You pick the topic on the Jason Rand Show.
Indeed you do, and it was close, but you want to know why the Biden administration is pushing back on an Easter egg story, and it has nothing to do with the transgender storyline. Comes to us from Mediaite. It says the White House has reportedly been asking Fox News to take down a story regarding religious Easter eggs being banned at the annual Easter egg roll over the weekend. I don't like how it says Easter egg roll. Because now I want an egg roll. Right?
Yeah.
We have to change that. I don't like it. And just call it cultural appropriation. They'll stop. The Daily Caller retracted its story, claiming that the Biden administration banned religious Easter eggs from an art contest held at the event, despite that being a decades-long practice that was in place during Trump's time in office as well. The Daily Caller story spread through right-wing media and sparked fury, even though it was quickly and widely debunked by various fact checkers and anyone familiar with the history of the event. Just real quickly, the reason why it spread so quickly is because it's very plausible. And that's more a reflection of Democrats and the Biden administration than it is of the people who wrote the story and the people who shared the story. It was widely debunked, at least the way that the Daily Caller had framed it. But people believe it because y'all aren't known as being very, you know, friendly to religion and God in general, kind of hostile. And that's why people reacted the way that they did. This is yet another example of that in their minds. And it's not like you guys are otherwise great at supporting religious people or Christians in general, because you're not and you know it. It continues. Fox News ran a similar story, but one that did not specifically blame Biden for the ban. Fox's story was headlined, Religious-Themed Designs Banned from White House Easter Egg Art Contest. What they did do was update it to make it a little bit more clear. They wrote, the rules appear to mirror ones that govern a long-standing contest held by the American Egg Board. There's an egg board. In which one military child's decorated egg is presented to the First Lady. Selected designs will be painted by artists on real eggs and displayed at the White House. Now, a reporter, Max Tanney, over at Semaphore, reported White House communications officials have reached out to editorial leaders at Fox News, including digital chief Porter Berry, and others requesting that they take down a story that said the Biden White House had prohibited religious-themed designs from the White House Easter egg art contest. But again, they didn't actually say it was the Biden administration. Now, could one surmise? Perhaps, I guess, maybe. But they didn't say that. They say Fox stood by its story, which added fuel to the anti-Biden firestorm and released a statement saying, quote, we stand by our reporting as it accurately quotes the 2024 Call for Youth Art flyer, which states Easter egg design submissions, quote, must not include any questionable content, religious symbols, overtly religious themes. That's all that they were quoting. Literally, that's all that they were quoting. And the fact is, people, because they point this out, that it's longstanding. If anyone pointed this out under Trump, he would have just gotten rid of it. He would have just said, oh, yeah, I don't like it. I'm getting rid of it bigly. That's what would happen. That's the difference. Because I look at something like this, I'm like, why would you? It's Easter. And like, that's totally religious in theme already. Why would you not want religious imagery associated with the eggs? Doesn't make any sense. And so I guarantee you that if this comes up again under Republican, they're just going to get rid of it. And so there's a benefit to everyone writing it, even if it was falsely framed by maybe the Daily Caller. And by the way, I didn't even read the Daily Caller story. I couldn't find it. So I think not only did they retract it, they just took it down. I'm glad someone brought attention to this. And I don't like the idea of any government agency or politician's office telling someone to take something down. If you want to have them offer a correction, okay. If they're wrong, they should. But to take content down, even if it's the right thing to do, is just a weird ask coming from a governmental official or a governmental agency or office. That just goes too far. Because they're not always going to be right. And by making that ask, they might end up using their power and the implicit threat of or else over the person who's making that decision, who ultimately will then get censored. The best way to highlight these kinds of issues is just speak up and say, yeah, that's not true. Here's the proof it's not true. That's it. And then let the individual outlets suffer the consequences of putting something out there that wasn't true. They say President Joe Biden, this is where it gets really left-leaning. President Joe Biden, a devout Catholic who attends weekly mass, came under a bevy of attacks over the weekend from right-wing media over the longstanding rules regarding the Easter egg design and for issuing a proclamation for International Transgender Day of Visibility, which has been on March 31st for some 15 years now. But that's also a little bit disingenuous. Yes, it is. And the people who said that he created it or it was created for Easter Sunday were clearly wrong. But he did put a proclamation out. And he didn't do that before, right? I haven't seen him. You only put one proclamation out. So why did he choose to do it on March 31st when it was Easter? Why didn't he do it last year when it wasn't March 31st or the year before that? Now, did he purposely do it to send a message about Easter versus it's an election year and he wants to, you know, peddle this garbage to a group of voters he needs to vote for him? I don't know. I'll give him the benefit of the doubt, but still say it's still inappropriate. I don't care what your reason was to do it on Easter Sunday. But clearly the people who made the point that this was all purposefully done as a day for transgender visibility on Easter Sunday, that was just wrong. And people, some of which did it in good faith, some clearly knew it was wrong and they said it anyway. But going back to a devout Catholic who attends weekly mass, and he also supports abortion in the third trimester. Okay, so cool, you go to mass. I'm glad you go to mass, I guess. I'm a Jew. It doesn't impact me whatsoever what you do, but you hold a view that is the antithesis of a main moral coming from Christians and Catholics.
Yeah, he doesn't seem very Catholic a lot of the time.
And look, but here's the thing. There's some people who separate out their religious beliefs from their political positions or, you know, their political principles and values. Okay, if you can convince yourself that that's not a conflict, okay. Again, I don't care if that's what you want to do. But don't bring out the whole I'm a devout anything without at least addressing or at least pointing out he's a devout Catholic who also, beyond attending church, is fine attending a third trimester abortion. It's weird that he would want to attend, but you know, he's a supporter. It's like Nancy Pelosi coming out, oh, she's a devout Catholic. What's your stance on abortion? Up until the baby's first cry. Well, okay, well then, I'm pushing back just a little bit on the whole devout thing. 1-800-465-8770 for your text messages. 1-800-465-8770. You're listening to The Jason Rant Show.